you're hearing this before listening to the weekly show, are you sure you meant to do that? If not, stop now and go do that first.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
We can all just relax into it now, because now it's Extra Large, there's no time pressure. That means I can probably...
take your pants off.
Corn beef! Corn beef! Corn beef!
Yeah.
With peas on the top.
I like
corn
it.
Corn beef, corn beef, corn beef, corn beef, bring it.
Fill my plate. Bring
it. Ladies a plate. It's been brown.
Call me daddy. I'm hungry. You know what I want to eat?
Corned beef sandwich.
Yeah.
With mustard on the side and peas on the top.
With cabbage.
Corned beef, corned beef, corned beef, corned beef.
And rice.
Get it from a can.
Don't want no spam.
Corn beef.
Corn beef.
Corn beef.
Bring it.
Put it inside me.
Bring it.
In your mouth.
In my house.
In your mouth.
In your mouth.
In the house.
Beef.
Corned beef. I love corned beef and currency. Fluctuations.
And peas.
I don't like prohibition very much. Coincidentally. Reserve me, governor motherfuckers.
I lost some money in fine currency trading. And now all I can afford to eat
corned beef.
With mustard sauce?
Yeah.
And peas on the top.
And cabbage.
Corned
cabbage.
Beef. Bring it.
Potatoes.
Bring it. Bring it. It's been brung.
Lightly braised cabbage.
God, and you've got to love that. How great was that? Oh,
that
yeah.
That was actually really good. I think we're pretty awesome at that. Kia ora, guys.
Did that just happen?
No. No.
What are you talking about? We haven't even started, Ryan.
Did anyone else just lose time?
We all just went to the toilet for a bit. What?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a monster, so I can't even
this
see
is
right
really
now.
Really good wine.
Does it taste a bit like corned beef?
What do you ask?
Mm.
With a little hint of mustard sauce.
So how are you guys doing?
Does everyone fart when they wee?
No, I'm a lady.
No, not ladies, just men.
Adam Sandler does.
Do you see, Ryan, you don't fart when you wee?
Not as a rule.
I reckon probably 95% of the time I fart when I'm weeing.
It's probably a relaxation of muscles.
I think it's more than 90% of the time.
Tight ass.
And I've always thought it was about balancing up what's going on in your guts, because, I mean, your gut is pressing up against your bladder, and I imagine that as your bladder empties, your gut... No, that doesn't make any sense. It's kind of
well, that opposite. Would provide for more room for,
that's right.
for the fart.
Yeah. Matt Dwayne in the chat room says, wee plus fart equals standard. And I agree. I think it's even more than 90%, Dylan.
Yeah, well, I thought it was almost 100%, but then one time I was actually thinking about it and it didn't happen, so I was like, okay, so it's not all the time. But
wait, sorry, that's how consistent it is, every time?
Almost every single time I wee, I fart.
Right.
Also, almost every single time I do discourse, I want to have a poo at the end.
On...
not on the show, I'm usually happy to leave the microphone behind and go and... carried on my...
No, I know. I assumed you were going to say Morgan's chest or...
No,
hot
no,
lunch.
No.
No.
That would be a birthday surprise.
So according to PCMag.com and a teardown that was done by iSupply, Every Amazon Kindle Fire that's sold costs Amazon $10 because while they're selling them for $199 US, they cost $210 to produce. I would say that was probably $11 actually.
That's such a load of shit though, because there's no way without being Amazon you can know what it costs Amazon to make one.
Well, you can get a good idea because you can figure out the volumes that they're making. You can look at all the components and you can figure out what it costs to make other similar circuit boards and so on.
Yes, but is it within the, you know, you're talking about the break even, the difference between break even and not break even, or what they estimate is $11.
Well, like, of course,
I'm sure Amazon, with their scale, could shave $11 off the cost.
They could sell them for zero, and probably most of them would make money within six months. No.
They could sell as a loss leader, but I don't think, I think it's bullshit that any third party can come along and say, it costs you this much to make.
Well, no, but I think it's probably a ballpark thing. I think it's probably certainly more accurate than an order of magnitude.
But we're only talking about $11. You know, I still absolutely certainly think that Amazon could shave $11 off what iSupply thinks they pay.
That might be true. But it would be very convenient if they were paying exactly $199 to manufacture them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they could just as well be paying $189.
Anyway, the thing is that, as Gruber says, they're a vending machine. So selling them for a small loss doesn't matter because, I mean, a couple of books, a couple of magazine subscriptions, and that's certainly made up for. It's a tool designed to make Amazon money. The more of them they have out there, the better. So it's not really a surprise. I thought they probably cost more than that for them to make, if anything.
I guess it all depends on volume, really, and stuff like that. There's a note in one of the show notes. Hang on, let me find it. It says something you're going to talk about in where is it?
Oh my god, I didn't do a VPN ad in the show.
I was going to say that.
Fuck! Nuts!
You'll have to record one at the end and then stick it at the front.
Poor Kiva people. No, because that will change the duration of the show and it's been so consistent. Do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer even though you're not currently in America or the UK? Do you have some reason for wanting people who try to look at your internet connection to see not that you're in New Zealand, but instead that you're on some anonymous IP address in Canada, Sweden, France, England, America or Russia? Do you just generally want to have your anonymity protected on the internet? Maybe because your government has recently passed stupid, dangerous, draconian laws. Tell them to mind their own business. Well, you mind your own. Go to discourse.co.nz/VPN and sign up. It's surprisingly inexpensive. And plus, if you sign up, it's almost charity for those nice ladies in Cambodia who farm rice pigs or whatever the hell they farm.
No, definitely rice pigs.
Who make carpet chisels. I don't even know. I don't know if they do all sorts of things on Kiva. All sorts of things. Yeah, I was having a hard time picking who to lend the money to first. I think that it's done in chunks, I think, of like $25 or $50. And you can see the rate of payback. So some countries have worse failure rates than others. So there's no guarantees that the money will come back. and of course, the money that comes back will just send out again. I think it's a great thing.
It's such
though,
a great thing.
It really is. It's so relatively speaking, it's so little money for us, but it means so much. And it's not just our $25 that goes to these people. It's, you know, like, so 40 people might go in with separate $25 loans for this person to build their little. You know, all they're doing is buying things like looms and sewing machines. But then they pay it back over 6 months or whatever, and away you go. They go from having no resources to having some resources. And what did we give up? Nothing. A few coffees. And in our case, nothing at all, because what we're doing is we're clipping the ticket when people are buying a VPN, and then we're using that. Win-win all around. Because you get to watch Hulu and BBC iPlayer from New Zealand for a small price. And they
also download illegal television and movies from BitTorrent-based websites without being caught out.
That is a terrible idea. I don't think anyone should ever do that.
Oh.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
No, I mean just in theory.
Well, I suppose in theory that's correct. You could, for instance, connect to the Canada servers and, you know, you wouldn't be tracked and it would be just as fast as you're used to. But I don't think you should do it.
In theory, Dylan, while connected through a VPN, you could stab someone to death. Doesn't mean it's a good idea, does it?
Oh, my God. That what's-her-name Knox story, that American woman in Italy, did you read about what the actual murder, whether it was murderer, whether it was her or not, did?
Murder.
Murder.
Murder. Somebody's been murdered.
Sorry, Dylan wasn't listening to anything after you said murder.
I was just wondering if I could say it in a Scottish accent.
So whoever it was that stabbed her wasn't very good at doing the stabbing. They stabbed her twice and hit bone and didn't go deep enough. Then they managed to stab her in the neck and they sawed the knife in and out across her neck, but they didn't cut the carotid. So instead of bleeding out quickly and just, you know, fading out, they estimate that she died over about 10 minutes knowing what was happening. And meanwhile, the murderer goes and has a shit and doesn't flush.
Doesn't flush?
Doesn't flush. And this woman, what's her name, Knox? I can't remember her first name. It'll probably still be a trending topic. Amanda Knox. She comes home, sees blood in the bathroom and thought that there'd been a menstrual accident. And then sees the poo, and the poo gave her pause. She thought, oh, we may have been burgled. That doesn't seem appropriate. And her flatmate, she was living with this woman that was murdered. Her door was locked. And so she heads out, tries to get some help. And Jesus, the whole thing's a disaster. I don't know if she did it or not. But the courts seem to agree that the prosecution wasn't exactly perfect.
Was there not DNA evidence?
Well, apparently there was fingerprints all over the whole place and poo.
I mean the poo.
There's got to be a lot of DNA in poo, but apparently the first police that she found accidentally were Italian postal police who tromped into the place and wandered around and possibly thought it was disgusting and flushed it. Although I'm making that up, I don't know if that's true or not. She may have flushed it. Maybe there was never a poo. Maybe she's the pooer. Maybe she's the murderer. Maybe. Could be.
Who's quality really, really comes off the bricks. What?
Horrible story, though. And if she didn't do it, 4 years in Italian prison, probably better than 4 years in Iraqi prison, 4 years in Egyptian prison. Because I imagine they've got nice woolen suits in Italian prison.
I should think so.
Yeah, I was watching this show. I've just started watching it. You guys may be familiar with it. It's a science fiction.
Murder.
Murder.
There was, in fact, a murder in this episode of the science fiction thing. It's, you know, typical spaceship, there's a captain, a warrior race alien who doesn't use contractions and is always worried about honor. Anyway, there's every episode, there's like 17, 18 people die in random parts of the ship when something gets hit. And everybody's like, yeah, that's fine. You know,
that happens.
Shitty news, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Then there's one episode, this one person gets killed while on an away mission. And the whole episode is about how they've got to inform the son that she's dead. And it's just like, well, come on now. If it was any of those ensigns that you keep on throwing away, you wouldn't give a shit. You wouldn't be informing any family. Just unrealistic, really.
Terrible. Don't like that.
Ooh, what's that?
One of my favorite shows is Murder, She Wrote. And
acknowledge.
The murder rate in Cabot Cove.
I've tried to be patient, I've tried to be polite, but I've got a job to do here. And quite frankly, you're in the way.
This is Captain William T. Riker of the USS Enterprise.
Hello.
I see Morgan's worked out which show it was that I was talking about.
There's a lot of murder, basically.
Murder.
Engage.
Murder.
Your culture will adapt to service hours.
Man, this soundboard is the worst thing in the world. I'm closing it.
I hate soundboards.
Everybody can relax, and I'm turning. Everybody,
can I make a request for a song to hear? It's quite a short song.
Yep.
It's Patrick Stewart sings the sings that alphabet song.
So George Takei tweeted the other day, he said, 7 students arrested for taking SAT for others using fake IDs. At Starfleet Academy, we made cheaters wear red shirts on away missions.
It's very good.
Yeah.
George Takei direct messaged me. Did he DM you when you followed him?
Oh my God.
I follow him.
Did he, was it like, hey, you're cute?
It was his exact words, Robin. No, hang on.
It would have been more like, you're cute. That's not good. God damn it. How do you do it?
You're
very cute.
You're very cute.
He's got the most impossible voice. I think you have to actually.
It's like chocolate velvet.
You're breaking up, lady.
I think she's talking about chocolate rain.
Chocolate rain.
Chocolate rain.
Course for Starbase A.
Sorry, I just moved away from the mic.
Jean.
To breathe.
You're yes. Adorable.
Good.
B. You're so beautiful. C.
Is this it?
You're a cutie. Yeah. Full of charm. D. You're a darling. And E. You're exciting. And F. You're a feather in my arms. G. You look good to me. H. You're so heavenly. I. You're the one I idolize. J. We're like Jack and Jill. K. You're so kissable. L. Is the love light in your eyes. M.
Yeah. This is really M. awkward. There's meant to be music on today.
P. I could go on all day.
I wish you wouldn't.
Q.
Now we need to critique this because
Dylan spoke over the funny part, so
I can rewind.
Q R S T alphabetically speaking, you're okay.
You no, that's it. Was just the part where he says Q and then he says Q.
U X Y Z.
I don't understand the reference, Ryan. Q. Why don't you explain it to us?
So what George Takei DM'd me when he DM'd me was, hi, I'm not going to try and do the voice. Hi, thanks for following. I don't have enough time to DM everybody who follows me, but you're getting this special DM. I hope that you retweet me hard and often. oh my.
Oh my. Hey, that was actually really good. Well done.
Thank you.
And what? Did you feel really
hard
special?
And often. Hey, that's the wrong thing.
I wonder if he decided to DM you based on your clout.
I actually assumed that hard it was an automated message often. That gets sent to everybody who follows him.
Hard and often. Cute.
How long after you followed him did it arrive?
Like a day and a half.
Right.
I think it was Control C, Control V. Beep, 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 beep. Did everyone watch the amazing octopus camouflage thing that I tweeted today?
Yeah, that's freaking awesome. But oh my God, I saw it like last year. So.
Oh really? So how's the AIDS? That. How's the AIDS going, Ryan? How's the AIDS?
Cool. Had it cool. I had it before it was cool.
Yeah.
did you hear about how the hipster burned his hand?
Yeah.
He tried to change a light bulb before it was cool.
Has everyone watched the Save a Pretzel for the Gas Jets video? This is Overflow, so we can watch it now.
No, let's not. Hey, if we're going to play things off YouTube, we have to critique them afterwards, because by doing that, we give ourselves a loophole in copyright. You see?
Uh-huh. Okay, I see what you're saying. So that makes it fair.
All right, go to sideworld.com, play the entire finale episode of Doctor Who, and then...
We'll discuss it.
Can we also, seeing as this is an audio podcast, we could do like the vision impaired, like
describing thing. Describing what happens. Yeah,
Captain Picard has put on a boater hat and is holding a cane. He's walking around the bridge of the Enterprise. He is bald and shiny pated.
But you know, audio description is not neutral. It's quite dramatic. And it matches the tone. His shiny bald head glistens in the afternoon sun.
Glistens in the light of the control panels.
This is porn for the blind.
Apparently TVNZ's broadcasting audio descriptive on some of their shows.
Yes, they are.
Hmm.
That must be even harder.
To supplement their fine captioning service, with which
kind of the opposite,
Robin and
though,
I are well aware.
They do a good job.
Spent many years working there together.
Yes.
Ryan is influential on viral video New Zealand.
Apparently,
Stalin.
I'm influential. What am I influential about?
Viral video New Zealand, Stalin, Moscow, war.
There was one time
speakers,
movies, I think I ranked the highest in homosexuality once.
Oh, you don't have any clout on homosexuality.
Because you're a high homosexual.
Is that why George DM'd you?
he saw what your clout was and went,
Oh my. viral video and New Zealand and Stalin, Moscow, war, politics, speakers, movie, law, SEO. SEO.
Bad
Robin
news,
is influential
brother.
In Kiwi, Cats, Apple, Music, New Zealand, Comedy, Grammy Awards, MTV, Lady Gaga, Melbourne, Festival, Climate Change, Wellington, and Gay Marriage.
If you're listening and you're wondering, we're reading clout.com's analyses of everybody on Twitter. Dylan is important.
Hang on. When I look at my list, it's got gay marriage, and next to it, someone who has given me a K plus is this Dylan Reed person. Obviously, someone
Hi,
who is
how are you?
Also an authority.
Hi, how are you?
Is this your
yeah.
Yes.
George Takei emulator?
My goodness, yes. It's so creepy.
It
I don't mean
George
it sexually.
George Takei, why did you DM me? Was that automatic, or was that you yourself going out of your way to say something nice to me?
I better gird my loins. First of all, magnificent.
I guess that's the best answer you're going to get.
Hot.
All right. Dylan is influential about Apple, editors, social media, television, New Zealand. That's television and New Zealand, but not TVNZ. Video, iPhone, Steve Jobs, Motorola, NASA, parking.
NASA.
NASA. you twiced me. Adobe, money, and you're influential about money.
I've just given Dylan a plus K for money. Because he moans about it so much.
Me too. We're Santoruming you on money.
Thanks.
I'm tweeting about it.
Social media, you're so much fun.
You are. I'm just going to tweet.
Okay, go ahead. Let's hear it.
All right, I've done with that one. Thank you. Thank you for being so tolerant. What am I influential about?
All right. Yeah, somebody should check.
I did you last week, Morgan.
Didn't. You're influential about New Zealand, Greenpeace, terrorism, cars, Windows 7, relationships.
Sounds right.
You're getting a plus K for that.
Photography, Max, malaria.
Yep, that sounds right. Yep.
And dubstep. Yep.
Dubstep! Whip!
You've just received plus K in terrorism and malaria for some reason.
Terrorism and malaria. Morgan has always influenced me recently about terrorism, actually. And malaria.
What about using malaria?
In fact, malaria and Morgan and I have a direct relationship to each other, which is the event where Morgan shaved my head out back of our place in Ponsonby, and something like 37 different mosquitoes were all sucking the South Island blood out of my back, and he was just giggling like a lunatic as he shaved my head.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Craig Parker shaved my head.
Yeah, for charity or something, or just as like a sexual fetish. I can't.
Might have been a bit of both.
The dwarf made much more.
Is that the hair event?
Was it the Herne Bay House hair event?
Oh, I got a really bad haircut at that. A really bad haircut. I looked like a lesbian.
I got a reasonably decent haircut, and then I went up to watch other people get a haircut, and then Craig Parker said, "Who's going to let me shave their head?" So I went down and let him shave my head just after I got a haircut.
You went down and then let him shave your head?
Yeah, well, I mean, he wasn't going to do it for free.
Should I say I look like a lesbian? I'd like to. I look like a boy. I looked very like a young, like a 12-year-old boy.
No, you don't.
Well, I think you said you looked like a lesbian.
Well, I think a 12-year-old boy is more accurate.
Is this like Dylan's thing where he can't tell the difference between gay people and Christian people?
12-year-old boys with tits.
What? Where can I not tell the difference between gays and Christians?
Dylan gave me a plus K for royal wedding.
I'm not saying it wasn't, but. Was it?
I think it was somebody else. They could never tell the difference. They'd meet somebody and they were like really super nice. And then after that person left, my friend would turn to me and be like, was that person Christian or gay?
Yeah, it does actually sound vaguely like something I might have said. There is at least one Christian I know who I'm not entirely sure isn't gay.
Maybe they're just Christian.
Just Christian guys. And it's like, I had drinks like a year ago with this Christian guy. And I was like, why isn't he hitting on me? This is weird. And then I'm like, oh, he's a Christian. He's really well behaved. They can flirt, but it's like nothing ever happens.
Mm. Although, is that what always happens? Do you have a drink with a guy and you're like, why isn't he hitting on me?
Yeah.
Jeez, up yourself actually, much, Robin?
I can honestly say that I have never been out with a dude by myself and there has, without the expectation that, you know, I've never done that platonically, unless it's someone who's a friend.
What's my dashboard on Clout trying to tell me? Son of a bitch. Plus K in Stalin. All right. We'll see about this.
Dylan gave me a plus K in Royal Wedding, so I don't know. Like, I suppose I did live tweet it, so maybe that counts.
I would turn to you for advice on the subject.
There's this one Christian guy I know, and he's so disconcerting to talk to. He's a nice guy, and he's quite knowledgeable in his field. So that's why I end up communicating with him quite often. But he's constantly got this grin on his face and he makes really, really direct eye contact. Like, oh, it's off-putting. And, yeah. But maybe he's gay. Maybe he's not Christian. Maybe he's just gay. That'd be okay. Yeah, that might be. That'd be fine. That wouldn't freak me out as much.
There's clearly a little bit of confusion here of confusing a certain mode of behavior with a predilection for a particular sex in terms of sex.
I'm sorry, what?
You can't act gay. You act gay by having sex with another person of the same sex as you.
So of course
only receiving, though.
All right. It's I can't believe Morgan hasn't weighed in yet. Are you there, Morgan?
I don't think
he's not. Oh my god, we've got hope. We can do whatever we like.
Fuck yeah.
Daddy's gone.
You know, I think that's true. I mean, there are some people who are really quick to jump in and say this person is gay because they're wearing that or they are doing that or they've said that or they like this particular musical artist. But
so what's the deal with the you know the typically
what's the deal with those homos?
I know, right? What's with them? They wear the shoes and the typical camp way of being.
Everybody just stay quiet. Listen to Dylan just total with total
silence. I'm just curious. Do you know any camp people who aren't gay?
Yes, but they are Christian.
Ah.
camp is special. Camp is, I mean, when gay was illegal, it was a way for gay men to signal to each other that they were gay without actually saying it. It was like a subculture.
Yeah.
Is it deliberate? Is it deliberate? Is it an affectation or is it something that comes naturally for people?
I think it's not something. It's like an accent. You know, you're not born with it, but you pick it up from what you hear other people say, and you know ways that you start to say words because you like the way it sounds.
I have personally seen somebody affect a lisp overnight that they did not previously have.
Well, because they decided they were gay.
They didn't decide. They came out, and at that point they began speaking in that way.
Stop being straight acting or whatever.
Well, these sort of terms like acting gay and straight acting are all reinforcing the same stereotypes. But as Robin says, the there's some sort of, it makes sense that.
But I'm fairly certain I've known a person in the past who had the campness, you know, had the lisp and was a bit camp in their behaviour, but yeah. didn't self-identify as being gay.
How do you cross your legs, Dylan?
In the gayest way I can.
Do you really? No, I found when I was growing up that.
But then came out later on. And I think came out to themselves at about the same time.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, it was weird that it was one of those.
On discourse.
The fuck?
I don't know what I just said. It was one of those things where you know, everyone around them thought they were gay.
Right.
But they didn't.
Even their mum.
Probably.
No, you're gay. Son, you're so gay. Stop pretending.
No, I certainly have at times found myself adjusting the way that I have stood or adjusting the way that I've crossed my legs or something because I've been brought up being sort of told or made aware that to sit like that is a gay way of sitting or to stand like that is a gay way of standing. I grew up in Christchurch, of course. So. Well...
You were the epitome of heterosexuality.
The epitome of mispronouncement. no, the hidden joke there that is clear to everybody who is currently on Skype, but not everybody who's listening, is that my mother, bless her soul, until the age of about 21, 22, thought that epitome was pronounced epitome because she had only ever read it. And,
oh, seriously, did your mother do that?
Yeah.
Oh right, I totally wasn't making fun of your mother. It's always been one of my favourite things. It's pronunciation.
Bit late now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ella Kool-Aid and save a pretzel for the gas jets.
Sorry, I had to.
Dylan, you owe Ryan's mum an apology. That was pretty insensitive.
Actually, you probably made it about even after that time that you and I met. Met my mother in Borders just randomly, and she didn't recognize you because she had never seen you when you were standing up and not behind a computer. This is after like a year of us flirting together.
Was that in the fishbowl with that great Big Mac?
That was in the fishbowl.
Magical fishbowl where we had free power because the previous tenants had not.
No, it wasn't that.
Wasn't it?
Because it had just been renovated and new meters added, and the power company had no record of the meter number. So we rang them up and said, this is our meter number, and they went, there's no such meter. And we went, oh. And they went, oh, we'll check it out. And they never called us back.
And we used to heat the place by turning the dryer on and just leaving it going.
With the door open.
Yep. Or we lit and heated the place by pointing 8 400-watt lamps at the ceiling.
I remember that place.
Yeah. Good times. It was Kingsland.
And mopped the floor.
Before Kingsland got really cool.
Yeah.
Kingsland's not cool anymore.
Is it not?
No.
Oh, I don't even know. It's too gentrified.
This is quite weird because this was a conversation we were having on last week's discourse.
Yeah. Oh, really? About Kingsland?
Yeah.
I mean, of course, yes.
I know, obviously.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Well, that was weird. It was almost like she was just copying what you said.
It was an instant echo, yeah.
I'm really glad that we rehearsed all of this, guys.
I think it's going perfectly according to plan.
I'm sorry, I've lost... What page of the script are we on?
So there's going to be an Ender's Game movie, possibly, maybe.
No, really?
Yeah.
Isn't he a Mormon and a
He is the worst kind of... fuck nut in the world. Awesome, Scott Card.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. And once you learn that he's a Mormon, a whole lot of things that happen in the box take on a very different complexion.
I've only read the first book, but the movie's going to be made. The movie's going to come out, and people are not going to be impressed. They're going to say, kid gets taken away to an academy for especially talented people, talented kids. He gets the surrounding kids to team up, his own age, works together, gets really good at a game that involves flying around in sort of near zero gravity, and has to defeat some kind of nameless evil. Ender's Game is just copying Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's copying it years before.
Yeah. That's a point that Orson Scott Card himself made when J.K. Rowling was hassling somebody for making money off a Harry Potterpedia sort of book that she hadn't sanctioned. And Orson Scott Card wrote a big sort of essay berating J.K. Rowling, saying, you know, if you really want to get technical about copying ideas, let's just go through the plot of Harry Potter and the plot of Ender's Game.
Yeah, so the Kepler Orbiting Observatory, they released, the Kepler team released 136 days of data that it had gathered, inspecting 150,000 stars, and they found evidence of over 1,200 potential planets. That I don't know why they call them exoplanets. They're planets or they're not, right? Surely, like Pluto. Exoplanets, I guess, just to differentiate between planets in our own solar system.
Yeah.
They estimate that 1/3 of sun-like stars have Earth-like planets in their habitable zone.
M-class planets is what I've learned. Learning all the time.
Read about the main sequence stuff. I think that's where the M-class thing comes from. I think M-class also...
Did someone just fart?
Not no, it was a door opening.
Are you peeing?
No, I'm not peeing either. A door opened.
Okay. But really, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many...
It was the door. And it's closing now. The door, that is.
Corrections.
Not your sphincter.
Not my sphincter.
Okay. It doesn't really.
Fun trying to make the door make fart noises to embarrass me on the podcast, as if I haven't done enough of that already.
The XL. You can't be embarrassed on the XL.
All right, you two. You three. You know, Morgan, you're a person as well. Dylan, Robin, I'm going to go.
Okay.
I love you all deeply. Hey,
howdy,
and happy birthday, Discourse. Yes, Dylan says hello to you.
Hello to Dylan.
Hello to Dylan, she says.
Baby.
Your baby, she says, in a full sentential clause. Your baby.
What? You are.
No, he had his wife had a baby recently, and that's what Dylan's name brings to mind.
And Ryan doesn't know what it's called.
And I don't know the name of the baby.
Oh, Ryan.
Even I know.
Baby.
It's baby, just... baby three.
Yeah.
It's baby Toru. Three. Toru. There's a good name for you.
Just baby call it... three, apparently, honey.
It's Cassandra or Cassidy for short.
Cassandra or Cassidy for short.
Okay, Robin. You probably should.
I thought it was a boy.
It is,
says Dylan.
His name is Cassidy.
His name is Cassidy, named after Cassidy, the Irish vampire from the Preacher comics.
Named after David Cassidy from the Partridge Family.
Sorry, named after David Cassidy. From the Partridge Family. No, sorry, Butch Cassidy.
Butch Cassidy from the Sundance Kid.
Butch Cassidy from the Sundance Kid. Oh, dear.
I'm going to have a monster-related pass out now, so you guys just need to cover while my head hits the keyboard.
Okay.
Let's be very, very quiet. Robin, Dylan, Morgan, Discourse listeners all. There is the door again. There is the door.
You farty
Ryan,
fuck.
Just go to the toilet, okay?
Really?
Dude,
I'd better go.
Bye.
It's getting health related.
Are you dropping farts? Just go to the toilet, man.
Honey, stop closing that door.
Some drop science. I'm dropping English.
Speaking of Dylan, do you remember when we saw that movie at that screening?
Oh, yes.
And there was a guy who was like, suddenly in the middle of the film, it was a screening, it was like a media screening, and so the theatre wasn't very full, and there was a guy sitting near us, and he's like, what's that smell? Like sort of this loud whisper, is someone dropping farts? Look, whoever it is, just go to the toilet, that's disgusting, you know. And he said to you, is that you?
He turned around directly and addressed me and said, if you're dropping farts, you should just go to the toilet. You just need to go to the toilet.
Well, to be fair, Dylan, you look like you probably are most of the time.
Yeah, but me and Robin were sitting next to each other and we could not smell anything.
Well, the poor guy had probably had a stroke.
If somehow I ever managed to make a sitcom out of my life, which is never going to happen because that's like the third of three funny things that have ever happened to me. But that'll be in there.
Yeah.
I can't think what the other two funny things are either.
Was it, what was the film? Was it Jubilee, that New Zealand film?
Oh God, I don't know.
It was quite a kind of boring film.
And the sort of film where you would fart.
Yeah, just for amusement.
I remember seeing, did I see Pride and Prejudice with you and we had like the scones and cream beforehand and cucumber sandwiches?
Yeah, at the village one on Simon Street.
Yeah, and then the only other one I specifically remember seeing was Perfect Storm because I had to go and see it at like 8:30 in the morning.
Ooh.
And for some reason I wrote a positive review about it, which I've always felt bad about.
There was a lot of hype around it.
I don't know what was wrong with it. I think it was 8:30 in the morning. I was still quite tired. I wasn't thinking clearly.
This was for the iHack news injection, so it's not like, you know.
But I could have said this film is shit, don't waste your time. But we probably had tickets to give away or something.
That would have cut you off.
Do you remember the comedy show ticket giveaways? Oh my God, I stole so many tickets.
I got a media pass. I talked that's right. To Hillary and got a media pass 1 year. In fact,
we went to pretty everything.
Yeah.
That was fun.
The only thing that my media pass wouldn't get me into was Henry Rollins, which I bought tickets to.
Right. Researchers have sequenced the DNA from a 100-year-old lock of hair belonging to an Australian Aboriginal.
And yet they can't get DNA from a poo.
The genome sequence has shown the Aboriginals were genetically separated from other human populations up to 75,000 years ago. The findings rewrite the current understanding of man spread across the globe, suggesting that Aboriginal Australians are the descendants of a population whose exodus out of Africa preceded the journey of Asian and European ancestors by some 24,000 years. And yet they're treated as barely even second-class citizens even now.
Someone has just joined the chat room, a new listener.
Well, good news, listener 9338. You have joined during the winding down moments of Extra Large. And that is probably the worst possible time to start.
Because we're just kind of talking about farts, which is a bit...
I'm trying ridiculous. Not to. I'm really trying not to. I was talking about exoplanets. You guys wouldn't let that happen. Now I'm talking about the arrival of Aboriginal Australians tens of thousands of years before previously thought. But you can talk about farts, I suppose, if you want. That'd be good. Yeah. That'd be really good, actually. You keep talking about farts, and I'll talk about interesting stuff. How about that?
What's not interesting about farts?
Just about everything, unless you're 3 years old.
Have you ever thought, though, every now and again I like to think about how much different the world would be if farts were visible?
How would they be visible?
If there was like a little green cloud. If
no, you don't even need that. If you could see an infrared, you'd see the little...
Yeah, sure. Or if... It's
like that thing that parents tell their kids that if they pee in a public swimming pool, there's a special chemical that turns the water red or whatever.
That totally happens.
No.
Yeah.
No, but I tell you what, if you do poos in a public swimming pool, there is a chemical that turns the water brown.
It's called poo. Tiny bits of genetic material called microRNAs.
I pooed in a public pool.
Can make their way from the food you eat into your bloodstream and change how your genes are expressed. A team of Chinese scientists found tiny bits of white rice microRNA floating around in people's blood after a meal. When they looked at what was happening on a cellular level, they found that the microRNAs were changing gene expression, decreasing levels of a receptor that filters out LDL, which is the bad cholesterol. And when scientists gave mice both rice and a chemical to block the microRNAs, the levels of that receptor returned to normal.
So are you saying that we actually do become what we eat?
Yeah. Well, it affects us maybe more directly than we might intuitively think, certainly.
Right.
This microRNA doesn't just travel through the bloodstream. It does have an effect on the genes in your cells.
Did I tell you on Discourse last week how excited I was to have discovered that the... The Thai place at Mercury Plaza has other branches. And then one of them is just up the road from my work.
That's a really good Thai place.
It is a really good Thai place. Best pad Thai in Auckland, I'm sure of it.
God, I missed that. There are some good Thai places in Wellington, but not as good as Auckland.
So I went to the one near my work, which is the same, ostensibly the same brand, the same company. You know, it's like Rong Thang Thai number four.
Mm.
And I had chicken pad Thai. It was still just $9, which is very good value. but it was not as good. It was good, but it was.
Did they have Nampla Prek?
I didn't check. I only went for the pad thai.
I had. I got. Now what was it? It was. It was roast pork and morning glory. Served to me by.
Sorry, what?
Yeah.
Morning glory. Morning glory. Only familiar with one. Stir fried
morning glory. And roast pork served to me by a ladyboy, and it had chilies in it that was so hot and unexpected that I instantly started hiccuping, and it was so good. Oh my god, it was so good. I think all food should be served by
ladyboys.
Yeah, that's probably is that a dismissive, disrespectful way to refer to someone that's probably just a transsexual?
I think it's quite descriptive.
Yeah.
I think a lady boy is a very specific type.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say transsexual, but it would be very general. It could just be...
Well, it can be quite confusing as well, because there's quite a lot of different ways of being transsexual.
Yeah. And if I just said a waitress,
that would be useless.
Yeah.
In Thai, there's a name, Katoe.
Yeah.
Katoey. So you could say that.
Yeah.
But no one knows what that means. We all know what ladyboy means.
She was good. She was wonderful. Very friendly, excellent English. God, it was fun. Tell you what, if you want good Thai, don't go to your Mercury Plaza place, go to Thailand.
Yep. Mm-hmm. To be fair, I was going to say my Mercury Plaza place is only $9 for a pad Thai. And I imagine it's probably cheaper in Thailand.
Probably about 80 cents.
But... there is the minor issue of getting there and back. I wonder how many cheap meals I'd have to buy in Thailand to sort of offset the
quite a lot. Cost. Yeah, quite a lot.
Yeah. Might be practical.
Auckland's grand plan to build the world's most livable city.
Oh, so now you have stories.
Of course I have stories.
Not during the main podcast. Just now.
Well, now I've had a chance to read because you guys are talking bullshit. So I've had an opportunity to.
I did a fart just before in my little office here. I'm kind of hotboxing it.
It's a tall order, making Auckland the world's most livable city by 2040, but we'll never know if we don't try. Mayor Len Brown launched the draft Auckland plan. This was on September the 20th. Accompanied by plans for the region's economic development, the city centre and the waterfront, which outline initiatives for urban design and business growth to secure our city's future, as a globally competitive city.
Great.
The proposals shape how options for... That's not even what it says. The proposals shape options for how... Jaffers. Fuck, seriously? You wrote Jaffers in an article. Fuck you. I'm done with this. Fuck you, Idealogue. No, it's Idealogue.
Oh, God, yeah.
Esther, go. Fuck you, Esther, go. Eat a dick. Eat a sack of rotten dicks.
Rotten dicks? You went straight from a single dick to a sack of rotten dicks.
Don't say Jaffa. It's unnecessary.
Yeah. I just think of people who say that are people who listen to The Edge.
Yeah.
Hey, I listen to The Edge. Sometimes if I run out of podcasts or my...
I rest my case.
Fuck you, you waffer. Damn it. Jawa?
Jeffwa.
Yeah.
Giovanni.
Earliest Homo erectus tools found in Kenya. Fuck up, for fuck's sake. 1.76 million years old.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it's definitely more than 4,000 years ago.
Well, no, it's 6,000, and clearly it's wrong because it is more than 6,000 years. So obviously, it's a mistake.
Obviously, it is actually looking at what's really happening in the world, not guessing.
God made Adam and Eve, blah, blah, blah.
I think you'll find that you have misread. God created Adam and Steve.
Oh, my God, I feel so terrible about all those signs I held up at the Hero Parade all those times.
You should. Have you seen Zombies Run? How about you make a fart joke instead of answering my fucking question? How about that?
I haven't got a fart joke. I'll run out.
Antibiotic resistance is older than antibiotics.
Sounds me.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I suppose because you still antibiotic substances existed before antibiotics were understood.
That's right.
So, you know, eating some moldy cheese occasionally. Or whatever. I think we should go. I'm losing steam. It's quite late. Got things to do.
We used to be so young.
Yeah, we used to start the podcast earlier. Or something. Oh, yeah.
I'm wet.
Corn beef.
Corn beef.
Corn. Beef.
Corn beef.
And peas.
And rice.
With peas on the top. And mustard on the side.
Fried cabbage. Cabbage, cabbage, cabbage.
Corn beef, corn beef.
And mustard sauce.
Corn beef.
Peas.
Bring it. Bring it. Bring it. Corn beef.
I want seconds. I want thirds. I want fourths. I want finitives.
It's my lunch tomorrow.
Corn beef.
Stick it to my
peas on the top.
Mustard.
Corn beef, corn beef.
Mustard.
I want out of this marriage.
Corn beef.
Over my dead body, bitch.
Rice, rice, just that nice.
Corn beef. Corn beef, corn beef. Bring it, bring it, bring it.
I'm taking the kids.
What's yours, Dad? I said, what's yours, Dad?
Beef. How low can you go?
Death row, what a brother, though. Come, beef.
belief, the hype.
Mustard sauce.
Bring it, bring it, bring it. Corned beef. Corned beef, corned beef. With peas on the top.
In a sandwich.
Clean, squeaky clean. That corned beef is squeaky clean.
So beefy. I love that salty taste.
Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Fish and chips, fish and chips, fish
sorry,
and chips.
This show is cancelled. Beep.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.